Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, written by Moses, in the sixth chapter, and then beginning with verse 6. And the Lord here is commanding his people Israel. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. This is depressing. My fellow pastor that I was working with when I first came out into the ministry, the church up in Minneapolis, was sitting across from me at my desk. We'd been looking at some reports that we had in front of us for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and he said, "This is depressing." And what we were doing was examining the confirmation classes from our church over about a 15 to 20 year period, people who would have been now 25 years old up into their 40s, and he had us go through these lists of those hundreds of names, and as we were going through the lists, we were categorizing them into four categories: active in church, delinquent in church, completely fallen away from church, and then the fourth one was unknown. And there were probably 40% of them we didn't know anymore, so they were kind of off of our list. But the other three categories, we were kind of putting people into the categories as far as we could tell, from either our church or what we heard from their parents. And that's why he said to me, "This is depressing." Because you start to realize how many young people get lost from the church. But something else came out of that little study that we did that was really significant, and that was this. As we started to go through the list, we started thinking about the dads of all of these young people. And there was only one exception where the dad and his pattern of worship didn't match the child. I'm going to say this very straightforward to you young ladies. Okay? If you want to see your kids in heaven someday, marry a godly man. If you want to see your kids in heaven someday, marry a godly man. If you want to see your kids in heaven someday, marry a godly man. If you want to see your kids in heaven someday, marry a godly man. I hope you get sick of hearing me say that, so that it sticks in your mind and your heart. Who you date, who you court in life, and ultimately let yourself fall in love with, can have a significant impact on the spiritual lives of your children. And it's true for men too. Who you ultimately marry can have a tremendous impact on the spiritual life of your children. That same congregation that I was serving, I remember a mother sitting in that same office crying, talking to me about the fact that her teenage son no longer wanted to attend church. And she said, "My parents warned me about this. My parents warned me about this," she said. And her pastor had warned her about it back when she was dating a guy that could care less about Christ. And she married him thinking, well, hopefully he'll change someday. Hopefully someday he'll come to see how important the Savior is like I have in my life. And it never happened. And now she was saddened to see the impact that decision was having on her family. God would have us pay very close attention to what takes place in our personal lives, our relationships, our families. Children are a blessing from the Lord, a wonderful blessing from the Lord. Children are a tremendous blessing from God in our lives. And he wants us to see that, but he also wants us to understand the tremendous significance that our role as parents plays in their lives. in terms of bringing them to Christ and having them love His word and appreciate His grace and staying heavenly minded. And the text before us demonstrates this to us, and it's sprinkled all the way throughout the scriptures, how much God would have His word and the wonderful truth of Christ dominate in our homes, dominate in our conversations with our children, dominate around our dinner table, dominate when we put them to bed at night, dominate when they get up in the morning, dominate the conversations that we have and how we look at life, how we view life, have it all filtered through this precious word of God that ultimately keeps us very heavenly minded. God has established the home and really the role of parents to children as the foundational structure that is like the infrastructure under all of society. And when that begins to fall apart and rot, all of society begins to fall apart and rot. And isn't it interesting that God could have selected any place in the world to put His son to come into this world? In a palace, could have put Him into the middle of an army or a big important business, but instead He puts Him in a humble home of believers who were waiting for the Messiah, who would now be their very child. It's interesting that God selects this humble, believing mom and dad, and you can really see that in Mary's Magnificat. Boy, you can tell the Psalms were just in her heart. And you can tell how important the Word of God must have been in her upbringing and in her life. God places His own Son, who's come into the world to work out the plan of our salvation, into this humble home of believers. How much money they had is completely irrelevant. That was the most important thing, the one thing needful. This week, in the week of Epiphany 1, we often reflect on the child Jesus in the temple and remember how Jesus' parents had to come back and look for Him. I want to read you a little commentary by a pastor from the 1800s named C.F.W. Walther in regard to this. If the parents of the most holy God-man recognized it as their duty to lead Him into the house of the Lord, how much more should we recognize our duty to lead our children, who are sinners in need of grace, to the Lord early on? Our children, I love this, our children are not given to us as toys and pleasantries or as our servants. Instead, they are entrusted to us by God so that when they know nothing about Him, we should lead them to their Heavenly Father. And talk to pastors. How significant this is in the roles of their the lives of their congregational members. How important what takes place in the home and the love of the Word of God in the home and the acknowledgement of how important Christ is in the home, how that plays out in the lives of those children as they grow up. If you look at these verses closely from Deuteronomy, every aspect of life is covered. Every moment of life is covered by these verses. And here's what God wants us to understand. Life is spiritual. Every part of your life is spiritual. Everything you do, everything you think about, everything that impacts us and that we deal with and relate to in the world is spiritual. Don't think that you can make a disconnect between what happens on Sunday in church and what goes on in your home. When it is integrated through the Word of God in the home, this is where the Holy Spirit is working through, if you will, the pastors of mom and dad right there in the home. And it all begins with parents taking the gospel seriously and realizing that this is their top priority. I love this verse at the beginning of this command from God. These words which I command you today, notice, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. So you're not just there passing on information like an instructor. God says these shall be in your heart first, okay? In your heart, loving this Savior and loving His word, and then He says, teach them to your children. There's a meme that's been going around once in a while. I just reposted it this morning thinking about this text, and it goes like this. I love it. When going to church is optional for you, don't be surprised when your children consider it unnecessary. On Good Friday, when our Lord Jesus was taken to the cross to shed His blood to atone for all of our sins, even our sins of not always taking our spiritual lives as seriously as we should. When that Savior went to the cross to atone for all of our sins and to give us forgiveness and the hope of heaven, imagine that you were living in Jerusalem at the time and you knew how to get out to the cross, and somebody asked you for directions and you gave them the pathway to get out to Golgotha. You could do that. You could give them the information. Or you could say, "Follow me," and you could guide them there and walk them there right to the foot of the cross on the Via Dolorosa, the way of pain, they call it, that Christ took to get to the cross. It's still there in Jerusalem today. Think of that in your role as a future parent someday. Probably 85, maybe 90% of you will be parents someday. Think of that as your role as a parent someday. You can give the instructions to your child about how to find Christ and how to ultimately get to heaven, or you can lead your child there. By your very life and your way of thinking and your approach to things, you can demonstrate to your child, "I want you to see in my life how desperately I need a Savior. I want you to see in my life how important the forgiveness of my sins is before God. Child, I want you to see in my life how important the sacrament of the altar is, where I receive that forgiveness from my Lord. I want you to see in my life how important getting to heaven is. So follow me. Follow me. I'll take you to the foot of the cross." May God bless your parenthood in the future, should He choose to give you that blessing of children. Amen.